This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. The right to know how various government entities conduct their business is a cornerstone of democracy. That's why each state in the U.S. has laws stipulating that local governments must divulge most public records in a timely and complete manner. In the wake of multiple corruption allegations against local elected officials, however, how well are public records laws working to make sure journalists and the public have access to such vital information? Trust in Local Government, WVXU's Public Integrity Project, continues now as we're joined by Graydon Law attorney Darren Ford. Darren, thank you for being with us.
Good afternoon, Mike. Thanks for having me.
We also have with us Cincinnati City Solicitor Andrew Garth. Andrew, thank you for being with us.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Michael.
We have Cincinnati Inquirer City Government Reporter Sharon Coolidge. Hi, Sherry.
Hello.
And WKRC-TV Channel 12 Special Projects and Investigative Producer Stephanie Kuzadem. Stephanie, welcome.
Thanks.
I do want to start with you, Sherry, because it's been a busy year for investigative reporting around here and certainly no shortage of big news stories out of your beat. How important is the open records process to what you do?
I mean, it's the underpinning of everything I do, honestly. And it's the best thing about being a government reporter. I mean, I think your listeners probably know I'm married to Alex Coolidge, who covers, you know, some big business around Cincinnati. And he doesn't have the access to the kind of records. Like, the city hall's business is the people's business. And it's very helpful to what I do.
And so what type of information do you tend to ask for in open records requests?
You know, it runs the gamut, especially in the wake of all of the corruption. We've been intensely interested in emails between government officials, text messages. You know, Graydon, who represents the Inquirer in our work with public records, really pushed and won a huge, you know, victory for journalism in with the definitive answer, the text messages can be public record. And there has just been a lot of focus on, you know, what's going on behind the scenes on those telephones that really are mini computers.
Let's go to Stephanie Kuzadem, WKRC Channel 12 Special Projects and Investigative Producer. Stephanie, same question. I mean, you're an investigative reporter and or investigative journalist. How important are open records to you?
They're probably the crux of what I do on a weekly basis. They are what helps us bring light to what people are honestly sometimes trying to hide to the public.
Have you had difficulty at any step in obtaining the type of information that you were looking for specifically?
I don't think you can submit a public records request almost anymore without having any difficulty. There's more responsive agencies, definitely, but I'm not a lawyer, and so they like to throw all sorts of codes at you to kind of bury you in legal terminology. So, yeah, totally 100%. There's been barriers.
Well, we are fortunate to have a couple of lawyers on the line with us. And let's go to our first lawyer guest here, Darren Ford with Graydon Law. Darren, is that true? Is it challenging sometimes for journalists to get access to the information that they're looking for from governments?
Absolutely, Michael. As Stephanie mentioned, and I know Sherry runs into this as well, I think that there is sometimes a very knee-jerk reaction by public offices to journalists where not a lot of attention and care is paid to the request. And so not a lot of information as to the reason for the denial is given to the journalist. And unfortunately, sometimes that then requires them to bring in me to help sort of clarify exactly what the exception being invoked is. And that obviously adds time, it can add cost, and it's frustrating. So absolutely, you know, I've done a lot of public records litigation over the last decade, and I can say that, I see only the ones where there's problems, but I certainly see enough of them to say that it's still an issue in Ohio.
Are there differences, Darren, when a journalist makes an open records request and a member of the public, which also has the right to do this, makes such a request?
So generally, no. A member of the public has the same rights to these records as journalists have. There are some laws that give journalists special rights. We litigated a case a few years back on autopsy reports that gave journalists, which is a statutorily defined term, the right to inspect preliminary autopsy reports. But as a general rule, the Public Records Act does not distinguish between journalists and members of the public.
Let's get a response from Cincinnati City Hall. We're joined by City Solicitor Andrew Garth. Andrew, first, is there anything that you wanted to respond to on what we've heard so far?
I would just start out by echoing something that Sherry mentioned, which is that the city administration is the caretaker of records that are owned by the public. We are very aware of that. We try very hard to take that seriously. The theme with which we interpret public records requirements is that we liberally construe those requirements in order to err on the side of disclosure. But I think it's also true what Stephanie said, which is it can be difficult to navigate the public records laws. There is an entire dense section of the Ohio Revised Code in Chapter 149 that speaks to what is an exception, what is not an exception. Some of these exceptions we're very familiar with, some are not. Medical records, for example, are clearly an exception. So it can be a thicket for people to wade through at times, and we try to help them, but this is a volume operation, let me tell you.
Well, tell us what the process is, if you don't mind, Andrew. So a reporter drops off an open records request, and let's say they're asking for some emails and some meeting minutes or something like that. I mean, what happens in your office?
Well, let me start by saying there is such a wide variety of public requests that we get. So if it is something very straightforward, like we know exactly, the requester knows what they want. They want emails between individual A and individual B on this date pertaining to this subject. That's very easy, and it can be done very quickly. If they want a document and we store something in that format, we can find it and we can turn it around really quickly. Part of the challenge, though, as journalists, I think, is that they are also trying to engage in information requests sometimes, trying to get a perspective from the city or trying to get other information aside from records. And so when we get a request like that, it's our job and our practice as the city to come back to them and say, okay, there's some ambiguity around what you're looking for. This may be overbroad, or we don't keep the records in the format that you're looking for. We respond to them. We first acknowledge their request. Then we respond to them and we say to them, here's how we keep our records. Consider this. Or can you be more clear in your response? Or can you narrow down the timeline? And that is an effort to get to a clear request that we can respond to easily and promptly.
Let's go back. Go ahead, Andrew.
And if I can just add one other thing that is helpful maybe in the context here. It's that the city is a huge organization, right? And there are thousands of employees, there are dozens of departments. And these public records requests can come in through all sorts of different channels. It could be a phone call to an employee that's a public records request. It could be an email from an attorney such as Darren to our office saying, hey, we'd like to see this. That tends to be fairly sophisticated in terms of the understanding of the content. Or it might be a request to the police for a traffic accident report. There's such a broad variety that we are constantly working across city departments to keep up with the volume of these. And there are some initiatives that we have in place also and that are coming up that I'd love to speak to at some point.
Certainly. Let's go back to Sharon Coolidge, the city government reporter at the Cincinnati Inquirer. Sherry, I know that we learned a lot about what an open meeting is in Cincinnati, for example, as we think back to that text messaging situation involving five members of city council, which would constitute a quorum in a public facility. Apparently, that also would constitute a quorum via text message. What do you think we've learned about open records and the access to them here in Cincinnati in recent years?
I think people are much more cautious in Cincinnati about using their devices to do city business. There's a lot of phone calling now, which is fine. I'm not saying that's wrong, but I do think that people are really paying attention over in City Hall that they shouldn't be doing this. Like, that was a huge wake up call.
And similar question for you, Stephanie. There are a lot of different pieces of information that can be gathered through these types of requests. And perhaps these didn't exist, you know, 25 years ago in the volume that they do now. Text messages and emails and public officials may be a little looser in them, you know, since it's such a convenient way to communicate, but now you can get your hands on them. Do you think we've learned anything about maybe the way public officials are conducting themselves through government channels now that they know you can sniff it out?
I honestly am not sure. From the standpoint of, I think that sometimes we think we're a step ahead, and sometimes we might actually be a step behind. I know there's, you know, all sorts of apps out there that make messages disappear, and I don't know if anybody's using those now. But I do think, in a way, that yeah, some people do know that we can request your text messages and emails, and so they are like what Sharon said, they're picking up the phone a lot more. But you always, every so often, you'll come across somebody who didn't realize it, and you'll still find a nugget in an email. So,
and Darren Ford is an attorney with Graydon. And Darren, what has the impact been on the way government officials conduct their communication based on what's available to the public now?
I think you know, Sharon, Stephanie would be able to speak better to that, because I haven't run into that as much since the city council text messaging issue. That
well, could you expand on that for us then? Because this was a significant case in that, you know, we had to determine that this was in fact a violation of what are, I think, commonly referred to as sunshine laws.
Sure. So there were two issues. So one was the text messages that were being sent by city council members on their personal devices. You know, there were group text messages of you know, five city council members discussing city business. The position taken was that because those were on personal phones, that they were not public records. There was obviously had to resolve that legal issue of whether or not those text messages were records. And the definition of records is statutorily defined, but essentially it's very broad. And it's really any sort of documentation, electronic or otherwise, that records the regular business of public agencies or city council in this case. So there was the public records piece of this that obviously was important, because you had to establish that the fact that they were texting on personal devices, didn't impact the application of the public records laws. The second piece of that was obviously the Open Meetings Act and the Sunshine Laws, which is that, you know, the city council and every public body in the state of Ohio is required to conduct their public business out in the open. And so if you have five members of city council discussing public business in text messages outside of the view of the public, they could be making decisions. And that debate, short of an executive session or some exception that might apply, is supposed to take place out in the open where the public can observe the discourse and understand what's happening. So those were the two separate issues. But really, you know, the records piece was very important, because at least since these discussions were happening outside of the view of the public, the text messages documented that. And so the only way the public was ever going to see, you know, what this discussion was to get a copy of these, you know, text messages from these private devices. And so fortunately, we've resolved that. And frankly, it hasn't been an issue since. But I think as Sherry and Stephanie noted, probably picking up the phone a lot more. But, you know, there's really nothing you can do about that. But I think that certainly makes it a little harder to do that. And maybe people think twice now about whether they should, you know, if there is a quorum, if there are enough people to be actually deciding public business, that they really ought to be doing that where the public can observe.
Andrew Garth is Cincinnati City Solicitor. What are the policies internally, Andrew, where you might explain to an employee what is subject to open records?
Absolutely. So let me say also that that's the reason why I'm on this call. It seems a little odd maybe to the casual listener that someone from the law department would be talking about transparency, but we have a decentralized public records process within the city. So each of our departments, as they receive requests, they answer and respond to those requests. And there are some types of public records that involve attorney-client privilege, or where people say, I don't know what to make of this request. I don't know what they're asking for. Do I have to answer it? It comes to us the city law department to help train our public officials and city employees together with the administration to make sure that they understand public records requirements. Along those lines, we have public records trainings that are part of the onboarding process at the city. We have regular trainings that are made to public officials and members of boards and commissions in particular, and elected officials. And we just get questions frequently from people, and we encourage them to ask us, how does this work? And we go through that process. There is, I want to mention also, you know, a real effort on the part of the administration to get more information out to the public where they can access it themselves. In 2015, there was an Office of Performance and Data Analytics that was created for this purpose. And you know, their goal is to get information into the hands of the public as easily as possible and without them having to have technical knowledge or sophistication. And so there's the city Cincinnati, it's Cincy Insights data portal that has all sorts of information that regular Cincinnatians can access to get their questions answered. And then there are other initiatives in place. And one thing which I know I've talked to Darren's colleague, Jack Greiner, about before, and that we're excited about, and it's been a little slower coming together than I personally would have hoped, but last year we issued a request for proposals, a public request for companies that would help to centralize our public records responses so that we have a centralized citywide tracking process and people, the public, journalists, whoever could look to see what's the status of my request, what's going on. Hey, I want to remind them that this is still hanging out there. So we have gone through that process, and I think we're close to being able to award a contract. So, you know, we're trying to do what we can, and sometimes it's a question of resources. Things don't happen as quickly as people would like, but we hold this to be an important duty of public officials and public servants, which is to make information transparent.
In our last minute together, I want to go back to Sherry Coolidge from the Cincinnati Inquirer. And if there are people listening who think, I didn't realize that I could do this and may now like to, what's your advice for like a good open records request to make sure that you get what you're looking for?
I mean, really do give the time frame. The law does demand this. Do give a time frame and make it as specific as possible. And the narrower, the shorter the time frame, the more likely you are to get something quickly. I do want to add a thought, though, because we're talking about the public records law and what it allows. And I understand medical records. There are certain things I would never ask for. I get that. And there's rules on purpose for that. But just because you can keep something a secret does not mean you should. And Exhibit A is something over at the county. It relates to Hilltop, like a real estate deal, like $30 million for land on the riverfront, very expensive. We had a very big battle over those records. It ended up being public, but, you know, and they cited all these real estate exemptions. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. If you're a public official, you should want people to know and as much information as possible is my thought on that.
There's our last word. Sherry Coolidge from the Cincinnati Inquirer. We've also been joined by Channel 12 Special Projects investigative producer Stephanie Kuzadim and Graydon Law attorney Darren Ford and Cincinnati City Solicitor Andrew Garr. Thanks to all of you for the time.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Michael.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.